Isaiah prophesied this. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised, and we did not care. Yet it was our weakness he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so that we could be made whole. He was whipped so that we could be healed. Here we see the tragic irony. The only true innocent man is condemned by religious leaders, worldly powers, your sins, and mine. Jesus did not resist, not out of weakness, but out of obedience and love. As we witness his silence and composure before Pilate, we're reminded that Jesus willingly endured injustice to bring justice to you and me. In the face of rejection, he chose surrender for our salvation. Let's take some time this evening and pause and contemplate and think on this scene, the last night of Jesus' life here on earth. The scene before the cross and during the cross. Stay with us in the moment. In this time of reflection, looking at Christ, humble ourselves. Let us confess our sins. Let us take responsibility for our rejection, our betrayal, and our denial. How have I betrayed him? How have you denied him? How have we abandoned him? The King on the cross, his body, the bread. The cross, symbol of shame and suffering, became the symbol of life, the symbol of freedom, the symbol of victory. Though mocked, stripped, and pierced, Jesus showed divine power and holy restraint. Jesus showed divine power and holy restraint. Even in his agony, he saw others, his mother with the ladies, the beloved disciple, John, and he entrusted them to one another. In this, we glimpse the heart of Christ, personal, present, and compassionate in every moment of our pain. So appropriately, on this evening of Good Friday, we pause to remember what Jesus in the timeline of the scripture had only celebrated some 12 hours earlier during the Passover celebration with his disciples. He took two elements and gave them instructions. We call it communion, or the Lord's Supper. We remember his body, the bread. The death of the king. It is finished. These words, "it is finished," are not a cry of defeat, but a declaration of victory. Jesus completed the mission his Father gave him. Sin has been confronted. Love has been poured out. And the way back to God has been made wide open. The blood and water flowing from Jesus' side speaks of cleansing and the new birth. Through his death, we find life. And so we pause again to think about that last evening when Jesus was with his disciples. It continues in Matthew 26:27. "And he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. And he gave it to them, saying, 'Each of you take and drink from it, for this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many.'" My brothers, let's have them. The king in the tomb. All creation waits. Joseph of Arimathea. We don't know much about him. Yet he was a follower of Jesus, along with Nicodemus, John chapter 3, who came to Jesus at night. He became a follower of Jesus. They took 33 kilograms of perfume and ointment. Pause and think about that for a moment. This was on Friday, the day when the Passover began. That evening, Friday night at sunset, they became unclean by touching a dead body. Think about the necessity of washing the blood and filth away from that body. Then anointing it in those spices, preparing it for burial. And then gently and lovingly wrapping Jesus' body with such care and intentionality. And they took him to a new tomb, one that had never been had a body placed inside. This is the same thing, the same method of what Jesus does for your heart and my heart. We have a broken, wounded heart because of sin, because of the world, because of our human nature. We're born into a sin state, and we participate it when we rebel. And we disobey, and we run from God. Jesus washes our heart and our lives, our bodies, clean with his blood. He anoints us with the Holy Spirit, the presence of God living in our lives. He wraps us in this beautiful Trinitarian fellowship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, so that no matter where we go, no matter what we do, we take God, his Spirit, with us. Ezekiel 36:26 reads, "And I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart." The message of the cross, the message of the King who was beaten and took our stripes, was so that we could experience a new and fresh heart, a new life, a new opportunity, not just once, but every day that we turn and we trust in Him. As Jesus is laid in the tomb on Friday, the world seems to fall silent. This is a moment of waiting, a moment of grief, of apparent loss. But even here, in the stillness of death, God is at work. The seed has been sown. The resurrection is coming. In our own dark nights, we hold to that same hope that what feels like the end is not the end with Jesus.